Support comes from Mosby Building Arts. This year, put your trust in Mosby Building Arts for fresh designs and the elevated remodeling experience you deserve. Inspiration at callmosby.com.
From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Tuesday, January 13th. I'm Jonathan Aul. Midwestern scientists say the Trump administration has brought big changes to their fields in the last year.
It's been really, really tough. I'll be honest, it's been hard and emotional, and it sometimes is really frustrating.
The White House's impact on science throughout the central U.S., that's coming up on The Gateway. A trial challenging regulations to abortion access in Missouri kicked off yesterday in Jackson County Court. Planned Parenthood and the American Civil Liberties Union are facing the state of Missouri in the trial that's expected to last 2 weeks. Planned Parenthood Great Rivers Chief Medical Officer Dr. Margaret Baum testified in court for most of Monday's session. Baum says the state regulations on abortion providers block Missourians from accessing needed medical care.
Please take a look at what's happening nationally to Planned Parenthood and to defunding. We are not here to make money on abortion. We are here to take care of patients.
Baum's statement comes in response to the state attorney claims that providers want these laws off the books to increase revenue. Attorneys for the state also argue the regulations are needed to ensure women seeking abortions make informed choices. Missouri Governor Mike Kehoe will give his annual State of the State address today. Kehoe will outline his proposed budget and the policies he would like the legislature to pass this session. Kehoe is expected to unveil his plan to eventually eliminate the state income tax. Republicans so far have supported the call to lower the income tax. Democrats have expressed concern the plan will involve shifting the tax burden from income to sales taxes. Kehoe will give his speech this afternoon at 3 o'clock. St. Louis Public Radio will air the speech along with pre- and post-speech analysis. The new term of the St. Louis County Grand Jury begins today, and as St. Louis Public Radio's Rachel Lippman reports, the court and prosecutors have made some changes to move cases through the system more efficiently.
The grand jury in St. Louis County meets once a week for a full day. Last September, the county's presiding judge authorized a request from prosecuting attorney Melissa Price Smith for a second grand jury. That enabled the review of an additional 430 cases. The second grand jury will continue for the entirety of 2026. Price Smith says the goal is not to put more people in prison.
We are not saying, oh, yay, there's another grand jury, we can issue more cases. We are issuing the same amount of cases. All this is doing is the cases we issued can move more efficiently and more quickly through the system.
Price Smith says having the second grand jury should prevent massive case backlogs. I'm Rachel Lippman, St. Louis Public Radio.
A St. Louis judge has dismissed a legal effort by the Board of Aldermen to intervene in a lawsuit over whether or not the mayor has the sole authority to appoint a new sheriff. Circuit Judge Thomas McCarthy made the ruling Friday. It states the city charter doesn't allow the board and President Megan Green to file lawsuits separate from the city. The city has argued that Missouri Governor Mike Kehoe has the power to appoint the interim sheriff, while Mayor Kara Spencer says it's her office. The board filed sheriff vacancies in the 1970s. It also argued that aldermen, along with the mayor and the controller's office, should choose the interim. McCarthy said in his ruling that he would still review the board's arguments even though they're not directly involved in the case. The USDA recently shared more details about how it will dole out $11 billion in one-time payments to row crop farmers. The aid is meant to offset trade disruptions, higher production costs, and low crop prices in 2025. Harvest Public Media's Rachel Kramer reports.
The payment rates are based on the number of acres farmers planted last year, along with estimated production costs and prices for specific commodities. An analysis by the American Farm Bureau shows the Midwest and Corn Belt states will receive over 60% of the funding. Nick Paulson, an agricultural economist at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign, says the one-time payments will provide relief to struggling farmers, but it's a short-term fix.
Prices for most row crops have not significantly improved from what farmers are currently dealing with for their 2025 crop. And we don't see production costs declining to the extent needed to get farmers back into the black.
He says crop producers need long-term solutions. I'm Rachel Kramer, Harvest Public Media.
A Caldi's coffee location seems to be poised to form a union. Workers at the Skinker Boulevard location voted 7-2 in favor of unionization with the National Labor Relations Board late last week. The local union is challenging multiple ballots that it said are from employees who should not have been able to vote. The union and workers say Caldy's has engaged in anti-union activities. They filed fair labor practice charges against the coffee chain in the run-up to the vote. Caldy's said in a statement that the vote is not final, but the company would abide by unionization if confirmed. Eight locations said they wanted to organize in November, alleging low wages and bad working conditions. St. Louis Pride Fest will see more regional acts and expanded VIP benefits for its 46th festival this year. St. Louis Public Radio's Katie Gravich reports.
Pride St. Louis will accept applications from entertainers outside the city for the first time this year in an effort to expand its regional presence. Pride Fest officials say the event will also see added VIP benefits. Pride Fest photographer Mark Moore says last year's festival gave organizers confidence in the success of their grassroots fundraising.
If it has the same momentum as it did last year, I think it's going to be even better. There was an overwhelming support last year by the community to make sure it happened, and I think you're going to see that again this year.
This is the second ticketed year of the fest after several key sponsors pulled funding last year. Tickets for the event on Saturday, June 27th, and Sunday, June 28th, are $10 a person. I'm Katie Gravich, St. Louis Public Radio.
It's been a year since President Trump came back into office. For many scientists, this has been a year of major changes and uncertainty. The administration cut grants, jobs, and targeted particular subjects. St. Louis Public Radio's Kate Grumke spoke with scientists throughout the Midwest to understand the impacts.
A pontoon boat loaded with scientific equipment motors across a small lake lined with homes in central Missouri. Scientist Rebecca North is having her perfect day.
I love being out in the field, and we don't get to go out as much as we like.
It's a warm day for winter, but still cold enough that the boat has to break through ice to get to the first test site. North and her team are here to get an overall idea of the health of this private lake. She does this type of work a lot as an associate professor at the University of Missouri. But today, something is different. For the first time, she's being paid by a homeowners association. North lost federal funding for multiple projects last year, so now she's looking for new ways to cover the cost of research.
Currently, for the first time in my, scientific career, I have a GoFundMe or donation button on my website.
She's not alone. Science has changed dramatically in the first year of the second Trump administration, according to interviews with more than a dozen scientists in eight states, mostly in the central U.S. They laid out three big ways things have changed. The Trump administration slashed the federal scientific workforce, canceled thousands of federal research grants, and clamped down on specific subjects like climate change and environmental justice.
It's been really, really tough, I'll be honest. It's been hard and emotional, and it sometimes is really frustrating.
Bonnie Keeler is director of the Water Resources Center at the University of Minnesota. In the last year, she had three major federal grants terminated, totaling more than $14 million. They covered a range of subjects, including Mississippi River water quality and renewable energy. She says the abrupt termination of these projects wasted taxpayer money.
It's a terrible way to end a research project, given no advance warning or opportunity to meaningfully wind down the work.
But in some cases, the work will go on. Outside organizations have tried to fill gaps in the last year, including Climate Central, a U.S.-based nonprofit. Christina Dahl is the group's vice president for science.
So many key parts of the climate and weather enterprise in the federal government have been decimated.
In the last year, Climate Central hired multiple federal scientists who lost their jobs. They also started doing things the federal government used to do, like publishing a list of billion-dollar disasters and holding monthly climate briefings. But Dahl says organizations like hers won't come close to filling the void.
The reality is that even collectively, all of the U.S.-based climate and environmental nonprofits don't have the same capacity as the federal government.
Doug Kluck is one of the many former federal scientists who left their positions in the last year. After 33 years at the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, he retired early because he was afraid of being fired and losing health benefits for his special needs son. He says the last year has been a little like the Dark Ages, but he doesn't think it will last.
You can downplay climate change all you want. You can call it something else. It doesn't really matter. We're all going to be affected by it, whether we like it or not. And I'm not saying this is a belief system. This is a pure science and physics issue.
Trump spokesman Kush Desai told Harvest Public Media in a statement that the American government is the largest funder of scientific research, and the administration is, quote, committed to cutting taxpayer funding of left-wing pet projects. I'm Kate Grumke, St. Louis Public Radio.
That story was produced in conjunction with Harvest Public Media, a collaboration of public media newsrooms across the Midwest and Great Plains, including St. Louis Public Radio. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, theme music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. We are a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis. I'm Jonathan Aull, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.